Leafs talk. JD Bunkus, Sim Key. A lot of excitement after the deadline, you know? Hey, it was Brandon Carlo, Scott Laughton, a bunch of player activity around the league, high prices, but you know what? The Leafs were all in, brother. And I got to tell you, the last 24 hours with some of the reports that trickled in and then some of the debuts tonight and a blown lead for their third straight loss, wind out of the sails a little. The sails are not as full after tonight's loss.
Yeah, third straight loss, right? I guess, yeah, you're right. After they blew that lead and then they lost to Vegas.
Two blown leads and three straight losses. And I would say they got dog-walked in two of the games by like two of the West's strongest opponents.
I would say tonight the appropriate team won the hockey game.
Correct.
I think there would be you'd be really hard pressed to find anyone within a different. That's why you come to Leafs Talk, baby, for that opinion right there. Just hard hitting stuff.
The team that got outshot by a million attempts tonight and controlled basically none of the play in the second period had a few good shifts.
Is every guy on that team Nathan MacKinnon? Is every single guy Nathan MacKinnon? Jesus Christ. Is it the fastest team on earth? Every guy that picks up the puck, you're like, oh, that's Nate. Oh, no, that one's Nate. Oh, no, that's Nate. It's a really, really smart way to build a team, not only because it's really good to have a fast team, but, you're having these teams come in from the East Coast playing at altitude, and they're just running them out of the gym. Mm-hmm. Every game I've watched the Leafs play, and they've had a lot of success there. Even last year, they won a wild game there. But it feels like every game I watch Colorado play in that building, they are skating circles around somebody. And it's because they have so much speed, the altitude, they catch these teams coming in there. And that was a clinic. I mean, if it wasn't for some beautiful shooting by the Toronto Maple Leafs, by Tavares and Marner, that easily could have been 7. Well, it probably would have been 7-0, but it could have been a way worse score. Blackwood not that great in net. But yeah, man, two different classes there.
He shut the door when it mattered, but you're right. That was a game where you really felt Colorado's speed and their depth, right? And that's something that Toronto was trying to accomplish at the deadline. And I mean, we're going to get into it in a second. We will say, quick PSA early off the top today. We're asking that the people that watch this show, if you're a YouTube watcher, you subscribe to the podcast, or you hit the thumbs up button when you're watching this. We had 30,000 views on the last video for the trade deadline that we fired up. You know, we do an emergency pod. 30,000 views, I think we ended up with 500 likes. Got to do better, chat. We need you, chat.
Bad? I don't know. Is that bad?
No, it's bad. That's terrible. Okay. That's horrible. That's monumental.
You're better at this stuff than me.
Listen, I talk to the YouTube team, all right? They tell me what to do. I talk to the pod people. They tell me, get more subs. That's the one.
Luke says good enough. Luke knows. He's a dork. He's got it figured out. He's a dork.
Listen, you play good cop, right? You just get to play show dad where you're like, oh, I guess you want sugary cereal, chat? Sought out to me.
You want Cocoa Puffs?
I gotta get the vitamins out there and play the bad guys. I gotta make sure that the school lunches are packed. I'm grinding out here.
Yeah, I'm sending a peanut butter and jelly sandwich wrapped in tinfoil to the chat.
You're not even doing that. You're giving them money for you already know what they're gonna spend it on. You're like, here's $10. Is that enough? They're like, no, 20. You're like, that's cool. You're not going to spend it all at the convenience store on candy, right? Yeah, guaranteed. That's what's going down. Okay, so you want to just jump right. Where do you want to start with this one? Because I kind of think the debuts.
Yeah, I got to start with debuts.
I don't want to be the rudest guy who ever lived because, listen, this comes with a caveat. These guys are going to have to find their legs. And they're with new teams, and that your first game's at altitude against the Colorado Avalanche, who also just got souped up. But yeah, I don't know if Scott Laughton could have had a worse debut. that was a nightmare. And what, Brandon Carlo starts the game -2. He levels out. I actually thought Carlo's game, he played a ton of minutes and he provided something. I thought he really stuck out in a positive way later as the game went on. But yeah, Scott Laughton on the ice for 3 of the goals against, and each one of them you could point to him and be like, maybe you could have gotten something done different there.
Yeah. You know, you see all the pictures of him playing for the Marlboros. He's from Oakville. He's dreamed of this very moment literally his entire life since he's been a walking, talking young boy. He's dreamt of this very moment.
This was his nightmare.
And yes, exactly what I was about to say. The nightmare flipped where, this turned from pretty great moment in his life to pretty dark moment in his life pretty quickly.
It really was.
I noticed that he can skate okay, and sure, like he does have a good defensive conscience, and like I understand the idea of him, but the route he takes on the penalty kill on the last
on
goal
McKinnon.
On McKinnon, where it's like, I think I'm going to deny a non-dangerous pass to the net and non-dangerous pass to the point and leave a wide open lane to the cup for the best finisher maybe in the NHL right now with Nathan McKinnon going downhill.
Yeah.
It's just, he's lost out there, whole new team, big moment of the game. And like, if you're watching on YouTube here, Sportsnet Plus, you'll see the decision he makes here. And it is certainly the wrong one.
Yeah,
like, you just got to deny the front of the net. And it's tired brain, end of a game, but you can't give a wide open lane to the best player maybe on earth right now. So really, really rough debut. You know, you trade the first for him. You build up in your mind of what this is going to look like. And a lot of Leaf fans are coming away from this one extremely disappointed. There's nothing really else you can say.
Yeah. Again, I know how this always goes. Like, this is a post-game show for one game. And the guy's brand new, so we've never had Lawton takes before. So it sounds more extreme than it is, because this is
not writing off his career, but this is a tough start.
Of course not. But it's like, we should all just be able to almost like, I know people are pissed. I'm annoyed with this game. Like, I would have liked a bit of a better showing from the Maple Leafs after they just spent the entire farm, essentially, except one guy on a couple of players. And you look like you're worlds apart from Colorado. Not the most inspiring game for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Lawton, the first goal, loses a puck battle, can't get the puck out. It's in the back of their net. Second goal, he can't handle a puck on the boards, and then he's just in no man's land watching as, I think it was Drouin, just buries one. It's like in his eye.
Nikushkin. Wasn't it Nikushkin that he got caught behind? Or is that the first
Nikushkin
one?
Scored the first goal and the second goal, and then the empty net goal. So I think it was Drouin that was wide open in the slot for that one. And then you mentioned it was a terrible route that he takes. Instead of like trying to just go to Nathan McKinnon and make sure that you're covering Nathan McKinnon. Mm-hmm. I know you're new to this penalty kill, but pretty sure every penalty kill you've ever played on is, hey, don't just lose track of Nathan McKinnon and give him a wide open lane going to the net, I would say is a thing. So yeah, I thought that he looked a little overwhelmed in this game. And then even from the offensive standpoint, like, you want to see him crash in the net. You want to feel like those guys are going to create a bit of an attitude line, him and Max Domi. And I thought Bobby McMahon had a brilliant play in this game when it was him and Matthews and Marner on the ice. That was probably the moment of the game for the Maple Leafs. But outside of that, that line felt like completely lost and a total non-factor tonight.
Yep.
Other than negative.
Agree. No, they were a factor.
Yeah, they were a factor.
They were definitely a factor.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was not a great debut. Needless to say, he will not be reminiscing. He'll be reminiscing about the second game in Utah, potentially.
Yeah, when he's bouncing his grandkids on his lap.
My debut in Utah, it was so brilliant.
Yeah. I remember it was like yesterday. Utah. Home of the Mormons. That's where I first played.
I got to tell you, the size, I know he's a little bit bigger, but the number and like the lack of anything, I'm like, God, could you have picked another number, Lawton? He's Connor Tour. He's the actual Tour.
Yeah, he's
like, I'm just like, why are you wearing that number? You're a little bit bigger, obviously, than Dewar was, but like, you're playing down the lineup. You're not really doing a ton in your first game. I actually had a couple moments where I was like, oh, what? Wait. Oh, crap. That's Lawton. Like, I had a couple Dewar old man mix up moments tonight.
That's not a rousing. This will be the end of the pylon. We're just having fun. All right. Yeah. We're just two guys having fun. Leafs lost. We're coming on here on a Saturday night. We're just having a little fun. Big win for me tonight with Scott Lawton, though, because if he's 6'1", then I'm 6 feet. And that is a massive victory for old JD Bunkus is getting over the 6 feet threshold.
You're doing that height jokes? Holy.
That guy is a Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet height, where it's a little different on the stat sheet than it is on the application. That's all I'll say on that one.
Okay.
6'1", is he hunching? He's hunching if he's 6'1".
He's got a little more bent over skating style.
Yeah.
Carlo?
Rough start, right?
Yeah.
Like,
very
rough start. Welcome to playing with Morgan Rielly, Dash 2.
The new debuts were Dash 3 before the first commercial break. Dash 3 combined. Lawton and Carlo were Dash 3 before they went to commercial for the first time. That's not what you want.
So thought it was a pretty big statement about what they have, that the brand new guy has to go out there against Colorado in the altitude, get on the flight, get to the city, meet all his teammates, and then plays the most ice time.
Yeah. Did he end up with the most? Yeah, he did. 22:04.
22 minutes.
McCabe was 21.
Yeah. So they played him a lot. I thought that he kind of started to fit in as the game went on. Blocked. He was just pretty much what was advertised to me, buddy. Yeah. Like, it's just Brandon Carlo. He's a big guy. He gets his stick in shooting lanes. He blocked a couple of shots. He's not the most fleet of foot. Like, he's not going to wow you with anything offensively, right? The puck goes over to him, and he's like, take it back. I don't want to have it. It's not supposed to be over here. But I thought that he cleared the front of the net a couple of times. Like, he's got a bit of a presence to him. Felt like he was solid positionally on everything except for, like, that goal where he kind of gets stuck in between. But
except the front row seat he had for the bar down snipe in front of him.
Again, though, that one, it's like, hey, can we rely on the two-on-one, like Lawton and Riley, two guys to one body to win the puck battle and get it out of your own zone? But, like, yeah, I don't know. I thought that he was fine. I don't think that he did anything spectacular tonight. But
ruined the game.
What?
He grew into the game, and I thought he was particularly good on the penalty kill when they killed off two in the second period. Like, we had Treliving on Kipper and Bourne on after the trades, and he said that, like, you know, that he's just annoying to play against because he's super long and he gets in the way and just, like, long stick and, like, just pucks hit him, and he just on entries, he's just a lot of guy. And you really did kind of feel that as the game went on. The first two shifts. Like, McKinnon could not have barbecued him worse, like, on his second shift of the game, maybe his first shift of the game, where he got caught at the blue line and McKinnon had a steam, and it looked like it was me out there. Like, he could not have gone by him faster. It was brutal. But I did think after he got back to even on the ledger, I really was just as advertised in a guy that can play 20 minutes for you in the top four. So,
well, can I also say this too? Like,
yeah,
this was the worst possible game. Like, out of every team in the NHL for you to have to play after you make these deadline additions and you're going to make like judgments of the two new guys, terrible. Like, the big rangy defenseman who's good in tight spaces but does not want to play like an up and down game is not where you're going to feel great. This guy is built for series against the Panthers, a series against Tampa. Right? Like, he would have really stuck out in that Vegas game when they're bearing down on the forecheck with all their mutants. Like, you'd like to think that that would have been Lawton as well, right? This wasn't like a chippy playoff style game. This was a, like you said, Colorado Avalanche up in the altitude, want to run you out of the rink with their speed, and they barbecued the Leafs tonight. Like, again, I don't know what the shot attempts
finished. Who's beating them?
Well, I can't wait to see them play the Stars, first of all. And by the way, as soon as we get off here tonight, Stars Oilers, can't wait to go watch that. Like,
yeah,
that's an automatic. The West,
pretty good matchup.
Yeah, the West kind of went from like into all of a sudden after deadline day, like, boy, oh boy, there's four teams out there that are sexy.
All of a sudden,
Oilers are kind of in a tailspin, but yeah, I still think that they'll be there come playoff time. Like, they'll be one of the like toughest outs going.
All of a sudden, it's like the West of our youth, where the Leafs would go out there every time on those road trips and just lose 8-0 every game to all those teams. Remember the California road trip they used to go on? And just we'd be like in our 20s, staying up till 10:30 watching Ryan Getzlaff get a hat trick.
Like, buddy, that was the one thing for a little while when the West started to get worse, like recently with Leafs success, where the Leafs have been good and then we've been watching crappy Western Conference teams. And you can tell the age of Leaf fans because they're like, oh, if we were in the West, we'd have the best time. It's like, buddy, if we were in the West before, they might have had to just like shutter the doors.
Full up shop.
It might have gotten so embarrassing that it was like, Jim Balsillie might have owned him and moved him to Hamilton. Like, it would have been something completely different. Again, I'm not reading too much into this one tonight because I really do think it was a horrific opponent. It's a measuring stick game anytime you face the best, best. And I will say this, like, if there's going to be a positive, and I'm sure we'll get to the negative part of this guy at some point in the show, but
right?
Other than the penalty that he took and the turnover that results in the power play goal, which was, again, a pretty pivotal moment in the game, I would say.
Yep.
But I thought Mitch Marner looked like as much of a superstar in that game as Nathan MacKinnon. He was brilliant for large stretches of it. And I loved watching him tonight. And Matthews got a couple of assists. I still didn't feel like the ultimate presence, but he did make like a beautiful pass on the power play, I thought, in particular. Like, but Marner specifically, I was really thinking through two periods. This is the greatest gap I can remember him ever having between like him and his teammates, and feeling like he's the guy and the rest of them are just kind of like not him.
For sure. And he made, like you said, that was a playoff Marner play that he made there, where he's like trying to get cued at a bad spot of the ice and he coughs it up to Natchez, and Natchez gets tripped and they ended up scoring the power play. And that's a play you could just picture happening in April and I was screaming about it. But yeah, I texted you that he had big time FU energy tonight, right from the drop of the puck. And like he scores a one timer. He scores a low blocker, both of his goals. Of course he does. He's never shoots the puck anywhere else other than low blocker. And they go in a lot of the time. But there's
the
a
only
play
time that he didn't shoot low blocker. It was an easy glove save.
And I don't know what point of the game it was, but he came flying down and off the left wing and he did this disgusting back spinorama towards the middle of the ice, almost ends up in a goal.
Yeah.
Great on the back check, flying around everywhere. It just had FU energy. And I think we know the reason for that after reading Elliot Friedman's piece today. Like, is this a good time to talk about it?
Yeah, sure. I don't even really know what to say about this game other than like they really desperately need Chris Tanev back, and just even from the confidence of this team and balancing out the pairs. I do think that like if you're just doing a quick game summary before this, that the secondary line just didn't really have any impact in this game. Like Tavares ended up scoring his goals, but it was another night where I just didn't feel enough from the second line consistently. And certainly the Lawton line had absolutely no juice, and the fourth line felt like kind of caught in between. And Robertson did his classic thing where it was like when the puck's on his stick, he looks like he has like some burst and looks like he's like really digging in. But then at the end of it, you look at it and you're like, you didn't do anything.
Yeah, so, why is he playing on the fourth line?
Well,
like
I think they're trying to prove something, and like they're giving him a shot and he's going to try to earn it. I actually didn't mind it. Like I don't need Cali Yarncroke in the lineup, like
trade him for a fourth line option then.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to make like it happen? You're putting square peg in a round hole or other way around? Mm-hmm. It's just not a thing. And they tried him up on the second line. Didn't work. They can't take our boy Pontus Forsberg off the second line. This guy, Pontus, all of a sudden,
great.
He just carries the puck and brings it in the offense. Like he was outside of the points for those other guys. He was driving that line a lot tonight. Yep. Like he was carrying the puck in a lot and doing a lot of stuff for them. So you can't take him off that line. But ultimately, going back to the Marner thing, it's a pretty big piece of news from Friedge today.
It's a huge piece of news.
We had, you know, what we had on our show yesterday with Friedge, with Kipper breaking to me what the package that they offered for Rantanen with, you know, if you hadn't heard, it's Cowan and Minton and two first, but you've probably heard. And then Elliot furthers the point today by saying that they wanted to get Marner.
No, hold on, though. They missed an important component of this, though, which is that they weren't doing that Rantanen trade without Rantanen being signed to an extension.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. But I think most people knew that part of it.
Sure. Right?
So anyways.
I'm just saying that's the most important piece of all of this. But, yeah, go on.
Yeah, and then it comes out that the Leafs approached Marner to waive his no-trade clause, and they asked him about it to do it. And he clearly said no, and he wants to, you know, be here, I guess. But this is setting up a pretty remarkable stretch run into the playoffs and then into the summer. Like, this is really, really has set up a really fascinating time in Leafs history for me.
Yeah. So I got a lot on this. I'll try to keep it fairly brief, but I'll just say this. Sometimes you gotta like shift out of thinking like a fan, and you really got to think like an executive with stuff like this, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So like really putting yourself in Brad Treliving's shoes. Why do you do this? Like, why does this happen? Right. You're in on Rantanen, and from the jump, you being in on Rantanen is fairly interesting because nobody wants this guy as a rental, right? Like There's buzz that he'll sign with a few teams. Edmonton thinks they could have signed him. Dallas thinks they could have signed him. Toronto thinks they could have signed him. They're all in the mix for this guy. And then maybe Florida, but it didn't seem like they went down to the wire the way that those other teams did.
Yeah.
So you're Brad Treliving. You're doing this trade and you're even thinking about it in the first place because you don't like where you're at in the Mitch Marner negotiations. And I've had a lot of people tell me today, because I had like a tweet go out about this. I've had a lot of people tell me like, well, they could have signed all of them. Like they could have just gone in the offseason. They could have had a hedge bet and then they could renegotiate with Marner. It's like, are you kidding? You think that they were going to have Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Mikko Rantanen, and William Nylander all on like massive contracts, like that was going to be something that this team was going to do?
Well, you can argue that you could make the math work if you want, but it feels pretty far-fetched.
It's
like with Tavares coming off the Bucks and all this stuff like that.
I'm just saying the other side of it.
I completely understand and I'm on your side, but like I get where people are coming from.
I'm going to be doing the cap situation with Myrtle on my show on Monday. It's not possible. Okay. Like it isn't. So the idea that they were going to have all these guys in the first place is lunacy. When they went out and they thought, hey, let's try to get Mikko Rantanen, the thought is that all of a sudden Mitch Marner becomes your own rental. Like that is the implication there, because what you're going to ask Nylander to waive, you're going to ask Matthews to waive, like you're going to dump multiple salaries. Like you're going to find a way to like, remember, you're not just getting these teams to just eat $4 million of salary for multiple players, right? And give you like nothing in return. It's far more complicated than that. And so the idea that you're even in on this guy in the first place is a big time indicator of where they felt like they're at with the Marner thing. And I've had a lot of people, I'm in the camp of like, they shouldn't have even really tried to approach Mitch until after playoffs anyways. The Leafs have been negotiating beforehand. I've talked to Kipper about this. So have you. He's as embedded as anybody. This has always been Marner's decision. Like the Leafs have been the ones that have already been trying to re-sign this guy, trying to get a contract done with him. I think probably feeling a little frustrated that he wants to go to free agency when he's a local kid and they're offering him a huge bag of money. They offered him more than what Rantanen was offered. So
Myrtle,
if you're
said,
going,
like he reported or whatever he said on the Leaf report, that he thinks the Leafs are pretty frustrated with the process and they're surprised.
Of course they are.
And like I
know they
are. Not be. And how could you not be?
Yes, of course they are. Like naturally they are. Like, again, just to provide a little bit more context here, that this is, if this was a situation that fans agreed with, which is that the Leafs were waiting to see it play out and both parties had agreed, that's one thing. That's not the reality. The reality is that the Leafs have been trying to get a contract done with this guy all season long. Okay. Like they've been trying, they wanted to get it done and they saw this unique opportunity with Rantanen to basically go like, hey, we're going to go and try and get this guy because we don't know where you're standing. So do you want to sign? Tried to basically put him under the gun a little bit. And I don't know, man, how much of this, like, again, I know we got these reports, but who knows how much of this was like a bluff to Marner, right? Like how much of this was like the team saying, will you waive the no move as a method of trying to put the pressure on him? But either way, you can't look at what they did here and think like, oh, all this is going to come down to is the decision about the Leafs giving Mitch Marner an extra $500,000. It's like, no, they're likely already offering him over $13 million, okay, on an 8-year deal. They're offering him essentially the moon, and he doesn't want to take it, and he wants to see how things play out. And maybe he's trying to leverage his market. And I would say that the one positive for the Leafs in this situation is that Rantanen, a far more accomplished postseason player, was not able to just get $14 million from any team that he wanted. And yes, of course, he goes down and settles somewhere where there's no state taxes, as everybody loves to tell me. But the teams without the state taxes weren't able to come up with that cash. And it didn't look like they were ready to throw it around in that deal in the first place. So maybe Marner won't have the market that he thinks he's going to get out there. But either way, you cannot possibly read this situation and think like, oh, things are fine. Things are looking good. Like the Leafs are definitely put it down in pen. They're bringing Mitch Marner back. Like it doesn't feel that way. To me, the way this feels like it's leaning is if this team's out early, he's gone no matter what. And quite frankly, the lean here right now is that I think he's going to be a goner. Like I just don't have a lot of faith that he's going to be back. Do you? Like, how could you possibly read this any other way? Like people are nuts reading it any other way.
I think the really fascinating part of this is how Mitch wants this to go, because whoever, it's obviously the Leafs leaked this information. right? That they asked him to waive his no move clause, because going into this summer now, if Mitch Marner, they know he's from here. They know the perception of him. They know everything around him. If Mitch Marner, if the whole fan base knows that Mitch Marner declined a trade where the Leafs were able to get Mikko Rantanen and then have him extended, and they he waived that to stay here because he wants to be here, and then he leaves in free agency, he will never, ever, ever recover here. He will never recover here. That is, you know, people still blame Matt Sundin for this kind of thing. Like, people still get mad at, like, there's still people who will say stupid stuff about that. And this guy has never been beloved close to the amount of what Matt Sundin was. If you, I can't imagine that Mitch wants that to happen. The fact that this news got out today actually gives me a little bit more hope that they might sign him, because that's just such a death blow to your reputation in your hometown.
I think the reason why,
like, if they, no. Like, with what I'm saying, not the signing part, but what his perception in this market, he will be forever a GOAT, the bad kind. If they, if everybody knows that the Leafs could have had Mikko Rantanen at $13 million for 8 years, if you had a waived or no trade clause and you decided to say no, and then you leave anyway, people are going to hate you forever.
Yeah. I'm just saying that. I think part of the reason why he would be leaving is because he doesn't want to ever deal with this again. He's like, yeah, I'm out of here.
It's not money. That is just not the money thing. He hates the perception of him. He always feels like they've been slighted here, and they just want to get the hell out and go to Columbus.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like he's gotten the love, because that it's always Matthews' team, and Matthews becomes the captain. The market loves Nylander. They forgive him. The market loves Matthews. The market is quick to appraise the likes.
Oh, I know. What? Oh, I know the perception.
Well, I'm just saying that I really do believe that everyone has hyper fixated on this guy, like trying to squeeze every dollar out of the situation they can. I'm not saying that's not a part of it. Like, I think that he would love to get paid a ton of money, because that is a way to show where your standing is in the league, right? And for Mitch Marner, if he can go to free agency and get a contract that like Mikko Rantanen couldn't, like, that's why I thought that this Four Nations thing was so important for him, because he faded in that first game, right? And then he scores the overtime winner. And then he goes down the lineup for Team Canada, and you feel like he's going to be a bit of a whoopee boy. And then he shows up, and he has this massive moment, and he gets all this praise, and he gets all this love, and people start to recognize, like, they look at the point totals, they look at that moment, and they're like, damn, you know what? Like, this guy's a pretty special player. He's one of the game's best. I never felt
a perception flip like that.
Harder
in a week.
Right.
And if he had to come out the day after that thing and signed for 12 times 8, it's like, and then none of this stuff comes out. But as you know, your mentions, my mentions, people texting me today, people calling me today, the perception is flipped back, buddy.
Yeah,
of course. Perception has done a hard 180.
Well, buddy, how could it not? Look at it this way. Mikko Rantanen, if the reports are true, was willing to sign in Toronto for 8 years, having never played here for a minute. And the hometown kid is getting a contract offer from the team for what? Almost $100 million. To end up being the highest point scorer in Toronto Maple Leaf history, your boyhood team. And he's like, we'll see how it goes. how could you love that? And so he's got the quote after the game. They asked him about it. He said, I quote, I wasn't focused on it. I had a feeling something might happen, end quote. Like, that's actually kind of ominous. I had a feeling something might happen. That this team was trying to push him, that they were trying to get him to agree to a contract extension. Again, I want to be very clear with this. I was always and have remained in the camp that this team should not have been trying to press him for a contract extension, that they needed to see how things were going to play out and sort of play it cool. But if Mikko Rantanen comes along, you can obviously understand why the team felt compelled to try to shore up that position if they thought that this player could leave. So, like, that changes the math on this thing. If this was a position where the Leafs were not trying to offer Mitch Marner a contract extension, I wouldn't be having any of these takes. I would have said, yep, these two teams, they just want to go down the line. But if you've got the Leafs offering him essentially the world already, then you have to know that it's likely not coming down to money. Does anybody out there really think that, again, the offer is $13 million? Like, that's what they're offering here. They're not throwing 12 at him. They didn't give him the Mikko Rantanen deal. They offered him more than the Mikko Rantanen deal. So they're offering him that. They're offering him over the 8 years. They're basically telling him, take what you want to stay here, because they don't just want him to walk in free agency. And he's saying, let's see how it goes. To me, it just feels, again, like he wants a deep. Well, if he goes on a deep playoff run and the city's on fire and Mitch Marner's a playoff hero, I would imagine that has to change the math, right? It just, all of a sudden you do get the love that you're craving. All of a sudden the fans do turn and say, this guy's the man. We love Mitch Marner. He feels that love. Maybe he does want to be here. But yeah, just the way things have trended up until this point, again, I think that you're thinking purely like a fan. If you really do believe that Mitch Marner is just playing this out because like Darren Ferris told him to go to free agency to maximize his dollar amounts, and he's looking for an extra $500K a year, like a $400K a year. It's like, I just don't believe it. And especially when the market just showed Mikko Rantanen, they didn't want to give him $14 million a year.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Are the Leafs better with Mikko Rantanen, not Mitch Marner? Like if he waves, if we're living in the world where he waves and we watched Mikko Rantanen's debut for the Leafs tonight, are the Leafs a better team?
Yeah. I think in the immediate future, no, but like, I'll tell you this, like the idea that the Leafs were going to build a team even around Marner, Rantanen, Matthews, Nylander was like fantasy camp stuff to me. Like that was, you're going back to the we can and we will era. The rest of the team, even if they did make it work, where you're talking about like minimum players and, you know, the cap's going up this year, but again, they've got to get Matthew Nyes done. And then ultimately other players are going to come off and they're going to have to sign some people. Like they still wouldn't have any centermen essentially, right? 1 year of Lawton.
Connor Tuer.
Yeah.
honestly, dude,
I don't know. I'll tell you this. This is how great Marner's been this year. I don't know. I think in the playoffs, given what Rantanen has done, I think it's a no-brainer that you're saying they're better because, again, he's on a list with all-time great players when it comes to his statistics in the postseason. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, he didn't look very good with Carolina, and that's him trying to fit into a new situation. And so in a playoff run where you're trying to beat Florida and Tampa to the top of the division, I think you're better off with Marner trying to get to the spot that gets you out of the first round. And then come playoff time with those reps, you're probably better with Mikko Rantanen. Like, that's a bit of a hedge answer, but that's how I feel about it.
That's fair. It's funny just watching this play out with Mitch Marner. And, you know, the old Bill Simmons thing, like, if you played this out 100 times, like, what level of outcome would this be with the Leafs with his career? Mm-hmm. And this got to be a bottom 10 result. You know, just
it's crazy.
Just in terms of like how this has gone, the perception and the playoff stuff and the way he's looked upon in this market and the contract negotiations. And this guy is a local stud kid, OHL champion, came all the way up. Like they've done, hit every checkpoint. It doesn't go his way early in the playoffs. And that just never starts to go his way. It snowballs. He has resentment towards the market. Their market has resentment towards him. Like the other ones obviously are like early career ending injury, but like there's just not many worse outcomes than the way this has gone. And if he leaves,
is also part of it for him, why, like when we're talking about why I don't think he will sign here, give without again, the caveat of deep playoff run changes things for me. Okay. But if you're him, you're going to go into another contract negotiation where you know you can't win with the market. Nope. Like they get bounced in the first or second round, right? And even if he's quality and he's asking for over $13 million a season and he's pushing for that number and he's going to free agency and fans are hearing about how he used, you know, the Detroit Red Wings for leverage and, you know, the reports are Steve Eiserman had a great meeting with Mitch Marner. And then he's going to come back here and what, fans are going to celebrate him? No, they're going to say, we lost again and we're running the core back and this guy bent you over a barrel and got every cent he wanted down to the wire and dangled the fans out there for months. And you think Mitch Marner and the camp want to be hearing about that again? They're tired of it too. Everybody's tired of it. This is what's so crazy. You're right. He hit all the checkpoints. If you just like, if you dropped you and I, like if you washed our brains, you gave us the Men in Black stick and we just woke up like out of a coma from the Phil Kessel days. And we're like, hey, bud, wake up. It's 2025. You're like, oh, no. Have the Leafs won a cup? You're like, no. But they got this guy on the team. He's from Ontario. He's London Knight royalty. and he's going to smash the records. He's on pace to smash every points record that the Leafs have, and he's having a career year. He actually just set up a goal for Team Canada. He passed it to Sidney Crosby, or to the new Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid. He was in a coma. We got a new Sid. His name's Connor McDavid. He scored this goal, and you're like, oh, he's loved.
He's the most beloved guy in Leafs history, obviously.
It's like, yes, the playoff stuff has been frustrating, but so much of Marner's legacy, dude, is tied up in these contract negotiations because it's like, and fans are sick of it. They're tired of it and they can't stand it. And so to have this happen, I got to tell you, I'm so pissed for Leafs fans in this moment because I know we're doing this and I guarantee there's people that are like shooting their ire at me right now, right? Like they're like, why are you talking about this? And they're standing on like Mitch is going to return. No, but there are, but I'm not even mad at them because the thing is I would be so pissed off as a fan too. Like you're fighting tooth and nail for the top of the division. There's already enough stress around this team. You finally feel again, like there's so many positive things, whether it's been the goaltending or the coaching change or like, you know, the blue line coming together. They just added a couple pieces at the deadline. And then right as you're trying to like strap in for this exciting playoff run, it's like we got Mitch Marner drama again, contract drama, and everybody's speculating and the birds are chirping and sucks, dude. No one wants to do this. Like nobody wants to do this. You just have to do it because he's one of the star players of the team and he can't have just a simple, easy contract negotiation. Like they said the thing about Marchand today, and I know it's like totally different spots in his career, but it's like Brad Marchand went hat in hand to the Bruins and was like, I'm willing to make a big compromise. Like I want to stay here and be a Boston Bruin forever. It's like, imagine Mitch Marner doing that.
Why not? You gotta wonder like the advice he's been getting for a lot of his
sure.
You know?
Of course you do, but eventually it's like, man, you're a grown ass man, make decisions for yourself. Like I'm like those excuses I could make when you're at the very beginning of your career, but at this point, Mitch Marner's gonna be a free agent at 27, 28 years old. Like time to grow up and make your own be your own man.
Anyways. Anything else in the game?
No, that was a lot. Like I said, I can't wait.
Stolarz was really good, and he scored five, and they got five goals against him, and I thought he was good.
Stolarz was great tonight again. He's battled his ass off. He really did. I thought, like, he kept them in the game. That second period, Colorado had the puck the whole time. Like, I was like, the Leafs came out of that period with a lead, and I went, how? It was 4-3. They score the late one. It's like, Stolarz was good. Yeah, way to go. Another Stolarz pack.
I can't. Let's just go. Cause I'm sad. I'm sad, dude. Honestly, like I'm sad because I'm a fan at heart and I really was enjoying like supporting and rooting for Mitch Marner after the Four Nations.
Yeah, of course. And, who wasn't?
And it was just like a really great time. You know, it's like a relationship, you know, it's like, it's been up and down here and we were in a really good spot. And then my wife threw a drink in my face at the bar. Because, you know, I said hello to somebody else. Like, it's like, and I was like, oh my God, that drink in my face was Friedge putting out that, like, they, and that, you know, they're not happy with the reports. And it's just like, oh my God. He's not actually might leave. This homegrown kid actually may leave. Like, he's actually going to leave.
Here's the other part, though. This is all Eric Tulsky's fault because if that, nerd doesn't trade for Rantanen without knowing that he's going to sign.
Correct.
Then there's no domino of the Leafs looking at Rantanen as an escape clause at the deadline.
Yes.
And none of this happens. And they just add the couple of guys that they're going to add. And we're doing the show. And the Marner love affair is continuing. And it's like now for the rest of the season, this is going to be a talking point. And I'm going to try not to do it all the time, but it's like, even to the people that say it's not like it's exhausting. You go, it's the best player on the team right now. And he might leave for nada. And he's from here. And that doesn't seem to matter for a dollar.
Monday should be fun for Kipper and I, for Kipper Borney and I. That'll be a fun show.
Ugh. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm good. I don't want to talk anymore. I'm just sad. I don't want to talk anymore. I'm going to go pour a glass of beer and just sadly watch Edmonton Oilers. Be like, please, God, Connor
McDavid, come
save us. Save us. Save us. Please come home and save us.
That's Connor McDavid got to live in a barren wasteland a suburb with a mall. Malls aren't even a thing anymore, and that's what they're famous
literally
for.
Like first day, eight yeah. years, $13 million. Yeah, no problem. I'll live. The best part about my place is my heated driveway. That's literally the only highlight of the city I live in.
Oh, I got a hot tub, and I guess I'll stay here for another 8 years. Like, great. Anyway, yeah, what a fun night that was. Lose a lead. Lawton just looks horrific. And Mitch Marner drama gets peaked like it hasn't since he signed the last deal, or since the summer anyways. God. Anyway.
What else? Yeah, talk.
Leave a thumbs up for the boys. And if you're a YouTube watcher, please subscribe to the podcast on either Spotify or iTunes. It's super useful. It's one of the things that keeps the show going. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. We like hearing from you, even all the people that are going to disagree with all these takes.
Yep.
That's fine. Hit us up and we'll see we'll see you and who on Monday?
Petrilli.
Okay.
Anthony Petrilli and I are doing the Utah game.
Yeah, the Utah game, you guys are doing that, and then I'll be back for what I think is Florida on Thursday. Sexy.
Correct.
So, yeah, see you Thursday, and then see you Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing. See you soon.